Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're jumping right into the start of a Dungeons & Dragons game, Trouble in Waterdeep.
That's right. And we're working off a YouTube transcript, basically listening in on the players and the game master in their session zero.
Exactly. So our mission here is to unpack those first steps. You know, how characters get made, the tech stuff we're playing online, and how that collaborative story actually begins.
Yeah, what's cool is you really see the groundwork. It's not just rules, it's personalities, tech skills, all coming together. Kind of informal, sometimes funny.
Totally like being a fly on the wall. You hear little things, like someone mentions a chess daddy character imported from Babylon, makes you wonder.
Right. What's the story there?
And then super modern problems, like a blue tint on a character sheet and Foundry VTT, their virtual tabletop.
Ah, the joys of VTTs.
Okay, so let's look at the characters taking shape. There's talk of a cleric described as tanky. So durable.
Mm-hmm. Protector style mentioned, which sounds like the newer 2024 rules.
But what was interesting is the player already had this homebrew battle domain idea, maybe for the older 2014 rules, and they were already thinking how to mesh that with the potential 2024 system.
Yeah, that's classic D&D, isn't it? Mixing official rules with your own custom stuff and juggling two rule sets right off the bat. That adds a layer.
It really does. Sets up different expectations, maybe. And then the GM throws in a little teaser, something about a 6-foot-tall redhead Amazon woman, maybe showing up later.
A little plot hook planted early.
Nice. And it feels like people are coming up with these character ideas kind of separately at first, before knowing much about Waterdeep itself.
Yeah, and the GM seems okay with that, trusting it'll gel later, I guess.
Then the rules discussion, that really heats up. One player, Cher, clearly wants to use the 2024 rules.
Right, and that immediately flags a potential issue, because the module they're using, 5-Step Lock and Border, it's based on 2014.
And it sounds pretty basic, like text, they're just copying and pasting into the character sheets.
Mm-hmm. So you've got this core session zero task, aligning expectations. Especially on rules. It impacts everything.
Definitely. Because you have another player saying they're building from the SRD, the basic 2014 rules, while Cher wants 2024. That's,
yeah,
that's a conversation the GM needs to have.
Absolutely. Consistency is key there.
Okay, let's pivot to the tech. Foundry VTT. They hit that character sheet glitch, the blue tint.
Yep.
And then the age-old online question. Which browser works? Firefox is apparently a no-go for someone. Chrome seems to be the group favorite.
So relatable. The tech setup, honestly, it's often the first boss battle.
Huh, true.
And that chat about Chrome getting past ad blockers like uBlock and Google's ad money, just a little peek into their outside-the-game tech awareness.
Yeah, and Brave Browser gets props for blocking ads. Funny how that stuff creeps in.
It does. But they're getting into Foundry itself. Tabs, sidebar, chat, character sheets, journal entries. Learning the ropes of the VTT.
Sounds like some have used it before. Mentioned a Swordwall 2.5 system.
Yeah, some prior experience helps. A VTT, if you're not familiar, it's basically the online version of the game table map, tokens, dice rollers, character sheets, all digital.
And they smartly decide to do a practice combat.
Good move. Learn the Foundry combat mechanics without the pressure of it, you know, really counting.
We really get the nitty-gritty here. Adding the character tokens to the map.
Those little digital representations.
Dragging them around. Then, inevitably, problems importing character info, images.
Standard stuff. Always fiddly bits.
Then permissions, letting others see and use your sheet in Foundry, setting hit points, even just resizing the character sheet window so it doesn't block the whole screen.
You can almost hear the mix of excitement and, like, mild tech frustration. Things that are simple, face-to-face, take clicks online.
But they're helping each other out, which is a good sign for the group.
Definitely.
So the mock combat, activating the combat HUD, the heads-up display.
Yeah, for quick access to actions.
Using the use item button for a longsword attack, targeting enemies clicking the token or pressing T.
And deleting tokens and re-adding them when something glitches. We've all been there.
Yeah, yeah. Using a sling for range. Talk about flanking rules. You know, getting advantage if you and a buddy are on opposite sides of the baddie.
And Foundry handles some of this, but not always perfectly. Using potions, right-clicking tokens for options, attack rolls.
Dealing with tokens ending up in the wrong spot on the map. Applying damage, like psychic damage from Vicious Mockery.
Making saving throws, ending your turn on the HUD, moving the characters, like control clicking for the pass.
All right, then space bar to confirm the move.
It's a whole different muscle memory than rolling physical dice.
And the spells, man, they listed a bunch. Vicious Mockery again, Suggestion, Sleep, Gravity Whip, Shield of Faith, Cure Wounds.
Eldritch Blast, Healing Word, Fireball, Tasha's hideous laughter, ice knife command. Quite the arsenal brewing.
But tech issues crop up again. Trouble opening sheets to cast spells, the GM having to step in and manually apply conditions like prone.
Yeah, the automation isn't always seamless. Figuring out spell slots, the little badges on the sheet, remembering bonus actions.
It's definitely a learning curve, even if you know D&D. Learning the specific VTT takes time.
Exactly. Things like automated damage rolls or macros, they're great eventually, but you got to set them up and learn how they work first.
Then we hear about perception checks trying to spot things, rolling initiative to see who goes first.
And the rule for Tai's higher decks goes first. Standard stuff, but you need to know how the VTT handles it.
Holding actions, targeting, concentration for spells,
yeah.
It's all in there. Setting up those automatic damage rolls, using inspiration points.
Identifying the right monster token to click on. Applying buffs like Shield of Faith, seeing the little blue AC number change. Managing spell slots. Understanding feats like magic, initiate, giving an extra spell.
It's a lot to juggle, especially while also trying to roleplay.
And the GM's learning too, right? Toggling the Argon Combat HUD, seeing how area spells look, using the pointer tool to show targets.
Yeah, that pointer finger thing sounds useful. Mm-hmm. And the debate about whether to use fully automated attack rolls seems they like rolling themselves, even virtually.
Gives you that feeling of control, I guess. Even little things like using the delete key on map elements, the square ruler for measuring, pinging locations.
Placing light sources, automatic saves sometimes, adjusting HP directly on the token. It shows how much these VTTs can do.
For sure. Okay, so beyond the tech wrangling, what about the actual group vibe? The gameplay stuff.
Oh yeah, lots of banter, casual chat. You get a feel for the personalities. One player sounds both excited and maybe a bit lost.
Totally normal for session zero, everyone finding their feet.
They're talking spell effectiveness, like with sleep. And someone worried early on they might be too meathead heavy. You know, all fighters, not enough casters.
A classic party balance concern.
And that funny moment with the suggestion spell on a leader, where only the caster and GM heard it.
Yeah. Leading to total confusion for everyone else when the leader starts acting weird. Online play challenges.
Followed by jokes about blind obedience. A good way to roll with it.
And you see the experienced players share the newer one. Figure out Foundry.
Plus the real life interruptions, bathroom breaks, grabbing drinks. It grounds it.
Then the joke about the fox and the bear trap. Which then actually happens.
Yes. And suddenly it's real gameplay. Trying to free the fox, athletics checks, strength rolls.
And one character, Stern, makes friends with the fox. Little emergent story moments like that are gold.
Then the classic group perception fail. In bad weather, even. Dice gonna dice.
Never fails.
Yeah.
They weren't even sure what to call the encounter, just ambush. And we got another character named dropped Moshe Owner, a Congolese character concept.
The first fight crow and a hobgoblin sounds like it was mostly about testing the Foundry combat flow.
Vicious Mockery makes another appearance. And using a cobalt as a shield, creative.
Definitely resourceful. Then the owlbear shows up, grappling it, trying Tasha's hideous laughter.
Requires a wisdom save from the owlbear, high stakes laughter.
And someone tried catcalling it. I don't think that's in the rule book.
Probably not effective, no. Then raging, attacks, killing stuff, the usual progression.
Followed by looting. 10 gold, slightly singed. The thrill of victory.
A 10 gold is 10 gold at level 1.
True. Then the rules debate resurfaces. 2014 versus 2024. How it hits warlocks, clerics, fighters.
Like warlocks not getting their subclass until level 3 in 2024.
Yeah.
That's a big change from 2014.
One player apparently just wants to annoy people early on. That's a choice.
Uh-huh. Different play styles?
Yep.
Champion fighter seen as maybe simpler. Talk about changing the default Foundry rule set.
Cleric subclasses also moving from level 1 to level 3 in 2024. The warlock is negotiating spell slots, thinking about scrolls.
Planning ahead. Talking about fighting a black dragon wormling. Ambitious. Save or die spells mentioned.
That monster ID moment, hellish car, German large tire, turned out to be an Alp, a psychic thing. And one character described as a glorious clone of the Emperor.
Lots of color there. Mentions of past campaigns, befriending monsters, joking about tickling the owlbear.
Discussing damage types, saves, sneak attack for the rogue. The warlock player worried about the party not taking short rests, which hits warlocks hard since they regain slots on short rests.
Yeah, party habits matter. Discussing maybe individuals taking short rests.
And this specific warlock is avoiding Eldritch Blast and most ranged attacks besides rocks, focusing on saves and melee spells.
Very unique build concept. Intriguing.
Then the cobalt character, worshipping Curtle Mac, Kurtulmak, the kobold god.
Sunlight sensitivity comes up, but the GM hand waves it. Maybe that eye patch magic item is planned.
And that kobold lore about fighters becoming dragons. Cool detail, even if it's just flavor.
Weather being important to the kobold, leading to wanting a comfort level chat. Good idea.
Call back to a kobold fire department in Waterdeep in another game. That's hilarious.
Mentioning standard kobold stuff, burrowing, stealing, and the serious side. Consequences in Waterdeep, like fines or hanging.
GM wants concise backstories under a page. Someone wants to play two characters. Wow.
Ambitious. Planning NPCs, using camp supplies instead of tracking rations.
Noting the potentially harsher 2024 exhaustion rules. Downtime ideas. Training. Learning spells. Crafting, like smithing plate mail.
Milestone leveling agreed upon, not XP. Awarding inspiration.
And that 2024 rule. Humans get free inspiration after a long rest. Discussing if inspiration expires.
Brainstorming backstories, making money in the city, dealing with guild taxes. All crucial stuff for grounding the characters.
So yeah, wrapping up this, look at the session zero for Trouble in Waterdeep. We really saw the building blocks, didn't we?
Absolutely. Character ideas forming, wrestling with the VTT tech, the first real interactions and rule negotiations, setting that group dynamic.
It's that blend, isn't it? The technical problem solving mixed right in with the imaginative role play.
Exactly. All those little moments, the glitches, the jokes, they're all laying the groundwork for whatever adventures are coming. It really sets the stage.
It really does. So here's something to think about. When you bring a fantasy world to life collaboratively, especially online, what are those hidden challenges, maybe beyond just the rules or the software? And flip side, what are the biggest rewards you think come from that kind of shared creation?
Definitely more than just rolling dice. It's that shared building process.
Food for thought. Thanks for diving in with us.